Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. It's 8 a.m. in L.A., it's 5 p.m. in Berlin, and it's time for the Squirrel News Podcast. I'm Ed Krasnick. My partner, Jonathan Bitter, will be joining us. I'm a Jew in L.A. Jonathan is a German in Berlin. It's the first show ever where a Jew and a German come together to solve the world's problems. The only one. Okay, welcome. We've been away for a little bit. We're back now. It's exciting. I'm excited. And I want to welcome a gentleman who has been, who is known as, he's 98% solution based. And then the rest of him is, we're going to find out what the other 2% is. But the founder of Squirrel News, Jonathan Bitter. Jonathan, first of all, good evening, your time, and it's been a little bit, and what solutions have you come up with since we've talked last?
Hi there. Hi,
Ed. Why am I laughing? I have no idea.
Good. Go ahead. Yeah, because my life's not about solutions, but about problems again. Last year when we met, it was all about children and quarantine. And now it's about children's quarantine again.
Oh, wow. Really? You have this going on again?
Because my son, who is 3 years old, is in quarantine for the third time this year.
Oh,
my
God.
It's mid-January. Imagine third time. It's probably a world record. Maybe not, because it's maybe everywhere the same thing. But yeah, that's what we're facing at the moment.
Wow. I think we need to do a special on COVID. I think we need a COVID special. Yeah, just quarantining and the things that people do to avoid going insane.
Yeah.
Okay, that's our next show. Is he going to be okay? He's all right, though?
Basically? He's totally all right. He was just in touch with someone who was tested positive. And one more day and it's hopefully over. For my daughter, it's over tomorrow. She just got tested, was negative, and can go back to school tomorrow.
Wow, and now they have these at-home tests where in other countries, other than the U.S., which just recently started this, you are able to get tests, at-home tests, for free.
Yeah,
in the States, you are able to get home tests that cost money. So you have to pay for them.
Yeah, here we have both, actually. Yeah, it depends. But we get some free ones, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're joining the party late. The land of the free, the home of it's not the land of the free. I don't know where that came from.
It's the land of the free, but nothing is for free.
Yeah, everything costs. Everything costs. If you can make a dollar off of it, it's happening here in the United States. So this is a big show, and we have, as usual, we're brought to you by squirrel-news.net. And that's where you can go to find all the solutions, stories that are happening around the world, curated in a form that is so easy to follow. And you see these headlines, and it immediately changes your mental health and your perspective on the world. When you see these headlines, when you see that things are possible, when you see what people are doing, countries are doing, organizations are doing, it's happening every day. And what I will tell you is this. Good news travels fast. That's all I'll say about it. That's my whole tagline for this year. Good news travels fast. Okay, so let's get into the news right now. Let's get the news theme going. And here is Jonathan Bitter with the news.
New Zealand unveils unique plan to eliminate smoking. Out with the meat, in with the plants, as world top chefs offer vegan menus. And how roundabouts reduce carbon emissions as well as accidents.
Well, that's a good array of stories, and certainly all of them relate to people everywhere, and they're going to lift your spirits, and they're going to make you start thinking as a person who's looking for solutions instead of problems. But that's not the way most of the news is, because I, just as an experiment, I opened up the New York Post today, and this is what I'm seeing. This is right on the front page of the New York Post. This is all I have to do is go to the front page, and I can find whatever problems I'm looking for. Here they are. Front page, bad actor, embattled Alec Baldwin sues for defamation by family of Marine killed in Afghanistan. The family of a Marine killed in Afghanistan during the Biden administration's chaotic troop withdrawal has sued Alec Baldwin for defamation, claiming the actor falsely accused one of the troopers' grieving sisters of being an insurrectionist. I don't even know where to start with that, but that's right on the front page, okay? Folk singer deliberately catches COVID to avoid vaccination and then dies. Okay? That's on the front page. Trio of cops slapped with charges and shooting death of an 8-year-old girl after football game. Prince Andrew's socialite X says Bill Clinton, Jeffrey Epstein, very close. All right, that's just on the front page. I don't have to look for these things. I don't have to go to an app. I don't have to find a curation service. This is on the front page of the New York Post today. Okay, so now those are the kinds of stories that we love and we become interested in. I know you have some good stories, Jonathan, but how can you compare them to this kind of news?
Well, it's different, right? It's definitely different.
You have a different feeling from it. You get a different perspective from it.
Definitely.
Sure, it's fantastic. But let's go into the solutions journalism for today. The stories that you brought up. Let's explore what you talked about and see where we go.
Yeah, so let's travel to New Zealand first. The New Zealand government unveiled a unique plan to eliminate smoking. And it's really interesting because we have bans in many fields, right? But this is a special kind of ban. It's not really a ban for everyone. It's a ban for young people. They're not allowed, supposed to be not allowed anymore to purchase tobacco. But for older people, it's still allowed, right? For people who are older, who are used to smoking, who are addicted maybe, they have the right to smoke and to buy cigarettes. But for younger generations, like say 14, 15, 16, they will introduce a certain age limit, and then they will raise this age limit every year. So say you're 15, like 16-year-old are still allowed to buy cigarettes. You're 15, you're not allowed anymore. But when you turn 16, you won't be allowed anymore either. And by the age of 17, it will again just stop and just stop before you. So in a way, this seems really, really unjust, right, to the younger ones. But on the other hand, I think it's super interesting because for the young ones who are not used to smoking, who are not addicted and so on, it's much easier not even to start, right? So,
right.
So it's a very interesting idea. It's an innovative ban in some way. It's an innovative program, and the goal in the end is zero smoking in a few years or decades, and yeah, I thought it's just worth knowing about that.
Does banning something prohibit people from wanting to do it?
Not absolutely. I mean, we know this from, right, there was a prohibition in the United States, and we have marijuana being illegal still in many countries, in Germany too. You can get it if you want, and there are other drugs. But on the other hand, apparently, scientists say the smaller the offer is, the less people really consume it in the end. So to restrict the offer of tobacco still helps people not to smoke, so to say, not to start smoking. And like that, apparently, it's still more or less effective. Maybe not 100%, but still quite effective. The only thing is that we have a lot of people who smoke in Germany. We have even more smokers than in the United States and New Zealand. And if we introduce that here, for example, right now, with like 20, 30, 30% still smoking, would be a big big problem, right? Because there are so many smokers and can't get cigarettes anymore. And then, oh, panic. But that's why it's interesting what the New Zealand government does, because it's just a bit more smarter way of approaching that.
Yeah, it's inspiring. New Zealand does a lot of good things, and they've done a lot of good things with COVID and the way they've approached it. Of course, it's a much smaller country and much easier to create rules about borders and keep people out and create situations where the disease doesn't spread. That how they've treated COVID is really indicative. And I think their prime minister is youngest prime minister in the world, and really interesting, really innovative, and a terrific leader.
She is, yeah. And so, a woman, we have to
yeah,
say.
And a woman, yeah. yes, she, yeah. So, okay, so that's an interesting story. I kind of think it leads into your story about vegan chefs, because my question about this whole thing is there an alternative to smoking? Is there something that people can ingest that won't kill them, that gives them the same feeling of smoking? And I don't know what that is, but here we're talking about, this is a story about chefs of the world adopting meat substitutes and adopting plant-based food. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I don't know if there's an alternative, like for an alternative to smoking, like for eating meat, because if you have to eat, right, but you don't right. really have to smoke, you have to breathe. You can just breathe fresh air.
You
and
could
get your kicks from somewhere else, music, sports. I don't know, conversation, playing chess.
You could.
But so you don't really have to smoke. It's just a habit, and you can, yeah, I don't know, have a conversation with your friends or hit the wall, or I don't know, when you're stressed.
I guess so. Yeah, there's all kinds of things that you could do as an alternative. But to, but like to teach people, you know, smoking has been around for generations, as has eating meat. You think about, so tell us about what's happening in the plant-based food world.
Yes, so in the and it's actually not only the plant-based food world, but it's the traditional food world, high-end, high-class restaurants that slowly, step by step, more and more switch to vegan and vegetarian menus, and that's the interesting thing for me, because during the last year, say 10 years, when this has become more and more popular, the vegan trend. I've also tried it. I went to a vegan restaurant, and a colleague made a vegan chocolate cake at work, and everyone said, "Oh, it's so good." And I thought, "Oh, it's so bad." You know, I didn't say that, yeah, but I thought it was pretty poor, yeah, compared to like my chocolate cake recipe with 200 grams of butter. Which everyone loves.
Yeah, sure, that's a lot
and,
of butter. Yeah,
but it's really good. Almonds, and also the restaurant where we went, Italian restaurant, vegan restaurant in Berlin. It was bad. It wasn't really good, right? It wasn't bad, but it wasn't really good. And so I always thought I was kind of convinced by the theory of veganism, so to say, like by the ethical and environmental arguments. But I've never been convinced by the vegan alternatives, or rarely in the past, especially in the beginning of the last 10 years. There are very good vegan meals, of course, but I think like the quality, like the exact recipes and menus, there was still a lot to work on it. And I think it's a very good move and development that, like, now the top chefs in France and London and New York and wherever, San Francisco, they discover it, they change the menus, one restaurant after the other, and they, because they're the ones to show that you can how to make good food, right, how to cook in a very good way, the art of cooking. And it's good that they integrate it. It means that it can actually work, right? So that's the interesting thing about it for me.
Well, I think, you know, it catches on when you think about the world of fashion, okay? So a designer creates a fashion, a piece of fashion, and then people wear it. it becomes popular, it becomes famous, and then it influences the way people dress all over the world in some way. So now, like you say, to support your argument, to support what you're saying, is if the top chefs create this style of food, it's going to become adopted and it's going to become popular. That's really, it comes from the top artists, the top creators in the world, and then it becomes popular. Everything that's invented becomes popular from the, you know, when the top people ascribe to it. So I think I think that's really interesting. And, you know, I think the other thing, of course, I'm always mental health focused. So I think if we start studying food and the effect that it has on mood, not even your physical health, of course, but also your mental health, I think it'd be very interesting because there's a whole study called Food and Mood. And I think if we go into it, I think we could do a whole special on sugar. We should do a whole special on sugar.
And we should probably also do a special on slow food. I don't know if you've heard about
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
Very much connected to mood also, yeah.
I love the slow food movement, and I'd love to do a thing. Yeah, we keep coming up with new topics and new ways and new stories. Now we have to go out and look for these stories. We need story, you know, we need to increase the staff of story finders and make story finding an art in the yes. world. That's true. That's definitely important for Squirrel News, I think. But so, yeah, so these are stories that we need to come up with. But here, you know, I have a lot of friends who are vegan. I've eaten plant-based foods, vegan foods, and a lot of them are amazing. A lot of them are very good, and some of them aren't good. And so you just have to try different things. There's more and more available. We have a lot of vegan restaurants in LA, and major cities, of course, have this. And, you know, I think in the time when people, you know, didn't have alternatives and they had to eat meat, you know, think Native Americans, indigenous cultures, they had to eat meat. So they did. But I think if you didn't have to and you had other alternatives and you created other alternatives, I think your life could be just as happy, if not happier. You could be well. And you wouldn't have to eat meat. And that, what would that do in the world? What kinds of opportunities or alternatives would that create in the world? Something interesting to think about.
Yeah, it would actually also be quite good for the environment. And I think even if you eat meat from time to time, it's still just important to know the alternatives and to know good alternatives, right? Also for at home, what to cook. You need to know the recipes. And
I have an allergy to wheat because I ate so much of it when I was a kid, because wheat is not a natural thing. It's a man-made, you know, it's a newer grain. And so as a result of that, I can't have it anymore. So I eat a lot of gluten-free products.
Okay.
And it's how you do it. You know, it's how you adopt it. And it's how many people are going to explore it and bring it into the world. And there's a lot of it. There's only certain places where you can eat, you know, have a croissant or have a piece of bread that actually tastes like bread. But the more people that do it and explore it, any food you can substitute and you can find a way to make it delicious and make it great. You'll find a way. So that's a good thing to look for solutions and how to create foods that are healthy for you that taste good. That's a good idea to do.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, there's already a big movement, right? The vegan movement. It's big. You said
huge.
There are many restaurants, but it's still good that there are also like the top restaurants adopting it and
yes,
working with it.
Absolutely. And so, and the last story that we have for today,
it's about roundabouts. I like this very much.
Nice. Okay.
Because it sounds so so small in a way and so funny, but it's also so funny because it's so easy, right? I don't know actually how many roundabouts you have in the United States or how popular the movement is already. Like in this city, Carmel, Indiana, seems to be the leading place for roundabouts with 140 of them in the town.
Wow. That's a lot for a small town. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and I mean, how many do you have in LA, for example? Or is it a common thing?
No, it's not common.
Not yet.
It's not common here. It is common back east, where I come from, in Boston.
Okay.
The older cities, it's more common, but LA, no. Go ahead.
And maybe because it's closer to Europe, because apparently the mayor of the city, a Republican, when he studied in the UK, came to know about this idea. And in Germany also, it has become more popular during the last years, also maybe two decades. But in France, it has been popular for even longer. And when we traveled to France during our vacation, we saw all that, and we thought, our families, our parents actually, because I was a kid, our parents thought, wow, this is cool, it's fast, you don't have to wait so long, there's no red traffic light. And that's actually like, yeah, that's one of the advantages. It's quite an easy technique. You don't have to wait so long. There are less traffic jams. It's better for the environment, but there are also less accidents apparently. So it's good for your safety. And so they started in the city, and Carmel, when he came back and became mayor, he started with the first roundabout, and people were afraid, and they didn't really like the idea. And then they built another two or three, and then they built more and more, and now they think they can't live without it anymore. So that's really interesting.
Well, I love it. It changes the flow. It changes the flow of traffic.
Improves,
and then I think about in the middle.
The flow, yeah.
And it improves the flow. And in the middle of the roundabout, there's all kinds of things that you could plant. So you
also,
could
yeah.
conceivably make those spaces really interesting. You could put up art. You could put up a playground. There's a lot of things you could do.
I'm not totally sure about the playground.
No, maybe not a playground. Maybe not a playground. But there's lots of things that you could do, because that's land.
Yeah, that's what people do actually here in Europe. Yeah, they use it for art and trees and everything. Yeah,
I love it. So yeah, I grew up with we call them rotaries, is what we call them in Boston, rotaries. But roundabout is a great word. And it's a great way to think about problem solving.
And the text actually says that there's a difference between rotaries and roundabouts. So the rotaries are like the huger ones. And what's the exact difference? I don't know exactly, but there's a difference. And apparently the roundabouts are even better, it seems.
Wow.
So. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we had rotaries. We called them rotaries, but maybe they weren't as good as the European. We're not as good as the European people. That's for sure. There's no question about it.
It's not about all Europeans, right? It's like, as I said, in Germany, we didn't have it in the beginning, and we don't have enough yet. There are many, many traffic, many intersections here. And when I'm there with the car, I think, well, why is there no roundabout? Why do I have to stand here all the time? Like, every 100 meters here in Berlin. So I think there's a lot of potential here too.
So what is the theme of today's show? The theme is stop smoking, start eating vegan, and take the roundabout.
Yeah, improve your flow.
Improve your flow. There's a theme of flow here. Flow west.
Take the easy way. Avoid unnecessary traffic jams and lung cancer. And
start breathing. Start eating and start flowing. Breathe, eat, and flow. Eat, pray, love. Breathe, eat, flow. That's the new book. That'll be the new movie coming out. It's a new series. Everything's happening. That is our show for this week. Now, I want you to go to squirrel-news.net, where you can find the podcast, where you can find all your stories. And this is curated for you. And it's really interesting. You know, I got into it. I saw the headlines. I found the app. I saw the headlines. And I wrote to Jonathan immediately. I didn't know him. And now we're friends and we have a show. So that's how life works. I was so impressed by it. And the solutions journalism movement is really interesting. And there are going to be some amazing things happening in this growing community of people who are looking for solutions rather than problems rather than creating problems in the world. And there's plenty of people who want to do that. Let them do it. They'll continue to do it. This is a different way, different choice. And see how it feels. Try it out. So squirrel-news.net. I'm Ed Krasnick for Jonathan Bitter. We'll see you next time.